Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this day, and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have a few announcements, and I'm not going to make all the ones in the bulletin this morning. You can read those yourself, but if you take the red pad, sign it, pass it down. If your name, number, address, and email, if we could have it. I would like to write any visitors and thank you for being in the service this day. And if you are people in our congregation have not been getting emails of prayers and people in the hospitals and funerals and that type thing, then that means I do not have your email. Session is having, hopefully, which will be a quick meeting in the library after church this morning. Library just through here to get ready for the meeting, congregational meeting for next Sunday. And I believe there's still some papers on the back table. I hope there are for the congregation meeting. And some, if you've got email, it will send out to you that you can read those papers about the meeting as we vote to go to a unicameral board combining the session and the trustees into one board to be more efficient. I hope if you got the email, please read that, learn as much about it as you can. If you'd like to call a session member during the week, please do so, or myself if you would like, and that will make the meeting much more efficient. So that way we're not spending a lot of time trying to ask each little detail about the meeting. Notice is hereby given that there will be a meeting of the Congregation and Corporation of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on Sunday, September 18, 2011, immediately following the worship service. The purpose of the meeting is to present a proposal to move to a unicameral form of government. Okay, and remind you, the luncheon is coming up this Sunday, so is the, this Thursday, so is the meeting of Presbytery. I'm just going to let you read the rest of these announcements because I've got something that I want to do. And please do take your time to read those. I want to recognize our junior church workers as they start back today. If you're in the service, if you just stand for a moment. Junior church takes place at 10:30 and is preschool through fourth grade. Is that correct? Brittany Hurst, Nancy Ball, and that back at the back, and Libby Kreps at the back of the church also. And we want to thank them for doing it in the past years and being willing to do it again this year. And you might volunteer to be with them. As they say, it's a nice, easy program. They would love to have a fourth person do it all but the last Sunday of the month. Also, I want to recognize Jay Hartz. Where's Jay? If you'll stand here, he's going to teach our adult Sunday school class, and he's going to be doing it on the parables. I've got to be honest, I didn't get a list on who any other Sunday school teachers might be this morning. I forgot to get that, so forgive me on that, and we'll make sure that we get that to you. And the nursery will be for the little kids, and we lost our nursery worker while I was on vacation. They're trying to get one, and or maybe two. We're trying to see how that works out. Right now we're working on a system of different parents. Our BJ has been sitting in the library some. Is anyone over there today?
I don't think there's anybody for over there.
Don't think there's anyone right there right now, but if you've got a child and you feel like a little unruly, you can go in the library. There is a microphone in there. If it's not plugged up, you can just plug it up in the wall and you can hear the service. Nice couch in there, baby changing table in the restrooms and water fountain, all that, so you can feel comfortable with your child. This Thursday, we're kicking off our luncheons again, and we have some new leadership. And I want to thank Linda for being willing to take on this. I know it's a major project. And I want to recognize quickly Some people are not coming back. They've worked years and years. Some of these are not even members of our congregation who have been helping out, so they won't be here to stand up. But if you are here, we'd like to recognize, first of all, those that are going off after many years of service, and some still will be making pies. Some have said that if they're really needed, we can call them, and they will come in and affix and help us. Shirley White, I know she's not a member, so she won't be here. June White. June, could you stand for just a minute, and if y'all remain standing. Millie Mack, hold your applause. Millie is here. Ruthie Maul. Ruthie's way at the back. Janet Hall. Janet's not here today. Betty Manise. Betty's over here. And Ann Gundenall. She's not a member. She's not here today. But and Liz McDonald. Liz, will you stand up? Liz is going to help if she's needed. She's going off too. So let's give these ladies a round of applause. And it really does take a team, as I might say, a village, to make all this work. Now those, they didn't know I was going to do this, so people may not be here. And some people don't like to be recognized, but we're going to do it anyway. And if you'll just remain standing, if you're here. Nancy Teggy will be working on the luncheons this year. She's standing here at the back. Veronica Zellhart. And Lois is in Texas right now, so she's not here. Viral. Vi's over here. Carol Schreiber. Carol's over here. Wayne Ruby. So these not all women. Wayne, please stand. He's shy. Paul Ruby, this is his brother. Barbara Nicole, Barbara. Barbara's shy too. Jenny Reinhart, she's standing at the back already. Sylvia Moran. Sylvia. Jackie McElhaney. Jackie's not here today. Tootie Meyer, she's not here. She goes to another church, but that's Linda's mother. Mary Stultz. Mary's not here today. Brittany Hurst. And Suzanne Connors. Suzanne's not here today. And there may be others, but let's give them a round of applause. And thank you very, very much. And those meals have gone up from $7.50 to $8. And very good homemade. And when you come in, you come into your right, you pick up your desserts. It's not just pies this year. It's pies, cakes, and cookies. And you sit down and you'll be served. If you'd like to help, you can get a hold of Linda or call the church. If you'd like to make a reservation, call the church number and make a reservation. And there's been some sheets put out that the first meal of the year can be $7 if you have one of those introductory sheets. Any other announcements that need to be made? Did you have one?
Youth group tonight at 6:00 at the fire range. Weather permitting, we will have a fire and roast pie.
Youth group tonight at 6:00. Jay?
The adult Sunday school class will start at 9:15. We'll be back in the library. The overflow is kind of a larger place. If anybody needs a wake-up call for 7:15, just let me know.
I can't either. Be there. Be square. Carol?
I'm hoping next week, if you're not here a full week, somebody wants to help me, let me know.
Okay, thank you, Carol. She'll be here next week to pull weeds, and Brittany was down here this past week pulling some weeds, so if we all start pulling weeds, there'll be no weeds left to pull.
Next week.
I know, next week. That's what I said. Next week. Not this week, next week. But Brittany was here this past week. Anyone else? Any announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is, 588, I believe. And I said we'd go back to screen songs this week, but I'm going to hold off one more week because of the 9/11 service that we're kind of having today. Yes, it is 588. We have come into his house. Mm-hmm. that our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for the forgiveness you have given us through Jesus Christ. We worship you as a God who is full of grace and mercy. Forgive us when we fail to offer mercy to others. Teach us that forgiving people who have hurt us can free our hearts and minds. We know from experience that forgiveness is not easy to give when we have been deeply offended. So we pray for your help. We realize that there are some people we cannot ever really forgive without your assistance. Help us, Lord, so we can be free from this burden. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Let us unite our faith with other churches in our community and the world today as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the wicked and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment, let's greet one another. The persons here, you don't know their name. Ask their name. Be sure that you get to know them. As the children start coming forth, I was just reading from a list a little while ago, and I left out two very, very, very important people on our luncheon list, and I would like to take just a moment to have them stand. Ella Lyons, would you please stand for the luncheon? And Verna Milbert. I'm going by a list. I'm on the list and I go blank. Did I leave out anyone else?
Clara.
Clara, stand up.
Almost everybody here.
Clara, anybody, please. Libby, stand up.
Anna,
stand up. Thank you.
How could you forget me?
Years of trying. I even didn't put myself on the list. Our Trudy, who comes down and takes up money when I'm not here.
Wilbur Arndt is in
artists. Oh boy, Linda, we gotta talk. No. I know. This is my fault. I take total responsibility. Libby, Anna, Denise is not here. She comes and helps in the kitchen. Trudy, even put myself. My wife Robin has come down and helped in the past. Lots of people have come down from time to time. Anyone else? I really don't want to skip over anybody in this. That's what I hate about doing lists sometimes and recognitions, because I always forget somebody. Just send me an email. Okay, now I forgot what I was doing. Okay, you. Thank you.
You just have to try and teach yourself how to do it. Because if someone does something wrong to you and you're supposed to forgive them, at first sometimes it makes you mad, right?
Yeah.
And sad, you're right. Sometimes sad and mad at the same time, which is a double whammy. And sometimes hurtful. So then you have to look in your heart and figure out how to unlock the love in your heart so that you can forgive them for hurting you. And when you can forgive them for hurting you, then you feel better and they feel better, and it makes a bad tailspin go up and positive. It changes the whole direction. And that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
All right, so maybe we can all work really hard to unlock the love and forgiveness in our hearts for all the people who hurt us so that we can forgive them and make the world more positive. All right, let's say a little prayer, okay? Lord, please be in the hearts of these children and help them unlock in their hearts the love and forgiveness that will take them to be positive and to represent you and to forward your love and forgiveness in the world from now to the rest of the world. Let them be disciples for you, Lord, and for them to support. And thank you, as always, Lord, for your many, many blessings, including these blessings sitting here beside me. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There has to be a song. There are too many dark nights, too many troublesome days, too many wearisome miles. There has to be a song to make our burdens bearable, to make our hopes believable, to transform our successes into praise, to release the chains of past defeats. Somewhere, down deep in a forgotten corner of each man's heart, there has to be a song, like a cool, clear drink of water, like the gentle warmth of sunshine, like the tender love of a child. There has to be a song.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very beautiful. Responsive reading is 632, forgiveness. 632 in the back of your red hymnals, forgiveness. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And they are like red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage?
He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy.
If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?
Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.
Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Normally at this time I would take prayers from the congregation, but I'm going to ask you to just hold your prayers, whisper them to God. If you have a special prayer that you would like me to know about, you can write it down or you can tell me after the service, or call me or email me, however you would like to do it. But I'd like for us to pray for our church, for our junior church, for the luncheon, for the nursery, for our Sunday school program, for our congregational meeting next week, for our country, especially during this 10th anniversary of 9/11, a very hurtful, very painful time for all of us as a nation. I'd like for us to pray for all the sick within our congregation and our friends and our family, all that are hurting, all relationships within our church and within our church families. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I remind you in our Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debts instead of trespasses. Let us go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, doing our very best to humble ourselves before your mighty hand, confessing that we are your children, that we have sinned, and that we do need your salvation. And we are eternally thankful for the forgiveness that you have given us through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the gift of eternal salvation, and to spend glory with you forever and ever. And the saints that have gone before us, and those that will come behind us when we go to be with you. We thank you for this day, even though it is a very hard day in our lives. As many watched the ceremony that was in Pennsylvania yesterday for the plane crash and all those lives, innocent lives that were lost. And as we see on TV over and over again, the images of the Twin Towers, and our minds and our hearts are reawakened. And even anger touches us again. but help us to find a place of forgiveness. Remind us that unforgiveness hurts us more than can ever hurt anyone else. Help us to move forward with our lives with a Christian spirit. Help us to pray for one another, to help one another along the path of life, which is difficult. Lord, touch our church family. Help to unify us with a sense of love and purpose and care, with it not being about any of us as individuals, but about being about the collective body of Christ. May we find our way because you are guiding us. You are leading us. You are showing us where to go, the decisions to make through session, through deacons, through women's group, through our different committees, which hopefully will be teams. Be with each and every one of us as we struggle in our individual daily lives, trying to make the best decisions that we can. Forgive us when we make our mistakes. Help us to celebrate when we do good. Help us to say kind and edifying words to one another, which is often not easy. Help us to forgive, which is difficult. But when we draw closer to you, then maybe we're able to give that forgiveness that you require of us. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your generosity. And thank you for Jesus Christ that showed us the way and gave us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, instead of a screen song, is number 574, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled. Thank you. Let's bow forward to Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you once again for the cross of Jesus Christ that offers us forgiveness, a sense of peace within our lives. Thank you for saving us, and thank you for giving us a mission as a church at Glenshaw Valley Church to reach out, to touch other people's lives, to help them find peace, to help them find you as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, for all those who are so faithful in giving, not just of their money, way more than that, of their time, their talent, their energy, their prayers, their dedication to this church, but more importantly, their dedication to you as their Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless them this day, and may we be a blessing to one another and back unto you. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and even our friend, we do pray. Amen. Call Bill. I didn't send it to you, did I? Okay. It's been one of those weeks. Sorry. Bill normally reads the scripture for us, but I evidently didn't send it to him this week. I've been a little off kilter. But I appreciate Bill reading. He's been doing a wonderful job reading the scriptures for us and introducing them also. So if I forget, feel free to email me and say I didn't send it to you. Listen this morning for God's word to you. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. It's hard to believe this is the 10th anniversary of the tragic event that we now know simply as 9/11. On September 11th, 2011, 19 members of a terrorist group named Al-Qaeda hijacked four commercial jet airliners. The hijackers intentionally crashed two of the airliners into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing all people aboard. Both buildings collapsed within 2 hours, destroying the buildings and nearby buildings that collapsed, killing nearly 3,000 persons. The hijackers crashed a third airline into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. The fourth plane crashed into a field near Shanksville in rural Pennsylvania. After some of the passengers and flight crew attempted to retake control of the plane, which the hijackers were directing, they believe, towards Washington to target the White House. There were no survivors from any of the flights. Many of you were glued to your television screens and saw the collapse, as I did, of the World Trade Centers as it happened. It is a sight many of you will never ever forget as long as you live. This is a day that is very difficult for the citizens of our country. Not only were 3,000 precious lives lost on that horrific day, but the principal perpetrator of that crime, Osama bin Laden, evaded capture or death for almost 10 years. Anytime there's a horrible crime, there's a wound that will not heal until the guilty person stands before a judge and is convicted of that crime or is killed in battle. I am thankful that this has come with some sense of closure for the American people. As one angry citizen said, it's up to God to forgive Osama bin Laden. It is the Army's job to arrange a face-to-face meeting. Perhaps even more horrifying, included among 3,000 victims were 836 responders, firefighters, and police personnel who had come to rescue people from the terrorist attacks. The overwhelming majority of these casualties in all four attacks were civilians, including nationals from 70 different countries. There were many, many stories of incredible courage. We've heard them over and over again that came out of this tragic event. One of them that we know very well is a touching story of Jeremy Glick, a passenger on Flight 93. Jeremy was a sales and marketing manager of a hot internet company. A former national collegiate judo champion, could handle himself. He was recently married, proud father of a beautiful three-month-old little girl. He didn't want to go on Flight 93. It was the first business trip he was going to have to go on in months. Since the birth of his daughter, Emmy, he had been reluctant to leave home. However, there was a business meeting he really needed to attend, and his wife, Elizabeth, kept saying, "You need to go on this meeting. We will be okay." Jeremy planned to fly out on the previous day, the day before the attacks, but he got stuck in traffic in Newark, on his way to the Newark airport. So he had to reschedule for the next day. Not long after the flight was underway, Jeremy called Elizabeth on his cell phone to report that five hijackers had taken over the plane. She was able to tell him about the plane crashes into the World Trade Center and later into the Pentagon. Jeremy and several other passengers on that flight determined that they themselves had to do something. We presume that the passengers managed to carry out the attack because this plane did not make it to Washington. It crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. They gave their lives to stop it when they could have just sat back and done nothing. But I'm impressed with what Jeremy told Liz during those 20 minutes that they were on the phone together. Interviewed on Dateline, Elizabeth Glick said she shared the essence of her conversation with her husband. "We said, 'I love you' 1,000 times over and over again, as it was brought so much peace to us. He told me, 'I love you, Emmy,' who is our daughter, and for me to take care of her. Then he said, 'Whatever decisions you make in your life, I need you to be happy. And I will respect any decision that you make.' That's what he said, and that gives me the most comfort." He didn't sound panicked, very clear-headed. He told me to put a picture of me and Emmy in his head and to be strong. A widow at 31, Liz says she's not angry, and she really has no regrets. Said, "I don't feel like there are things left undone with my relationship with Jeremy. We did it all, and I don't feel like I've left anything unsaid to him, and I don't feel like he's left anything unsaid to me. I don't think many people who are so young can say that. I said it's a difficult day for our country. September the 11th is particularly difficult for us as Christians. It's either ironic or providential, depending on your theology, that our lesson from the gospel for this day begins like this, because I just didn't haphazardly pick out a scripture. This is the lectionary passage for the day. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times 7. When it comes to 9/11, forgiveness is the last thing that Americans want to do. The day after September the 11th, Bishop William Willimon of Duke saw a couple being interviewed on the news. They were standing on the street before around the wreckage of Ground Zero. They were standing on the street in great grief. Their daughter had been killed when those planes had attacked. The reporter stammering to them, trying to talk to them, knowing the grief that he saw on their faces and that they must have felt deep in their hearts, says, "Well, I know that you'll be able to go to your place of worship this weekend and maybe find some consolation in your faith." And the grieving mother replied, "No, we'll not be going to our place of worship this weekend. Because we're Christians, and we know that Jesus commands about forgiveness. And frankly, we're just not ready to forgive. It'll be some time before we want to be with Jesus again." We can sympathize with that mother, because Jesus tells us to forgive our enemies. Of course, being human, the people who are responsible for this crime are the last people that we want to forgive. There's an epitaph in a cemetery in Atlanta of a woman who inscribed on a tomb of her adulterous husband. The epitaph said, "Gone, but not forgiven." C.S. Lewis made an important distinction between excusing and forgiving. He said, "If someone jostles me accidentally and I drop my books, I excuse that. It didn't hurt that much, and it was unintentional. But if a person does something to injure me or my family, and hurt will go on hurting for years, I can't excuse it. I only have the option of forgiving are not forgiving." And not forgiving, forgiveness is not easy, and yet not forgiving can take a greater toll than forgiving ever would in our lives as individuals or as a church or as a nation. David Zernin, writing on the internet, tells about a movie star that some of you may have seen, The Upside of Anger, starring Joan Allen and Kevin Costner. Joan Allen plays the role of Terry, an angry, alcoholic housewife with four daughters. She's angry because her husband has run off with a secretary to Sweden and left her and the daughters alone. As the plot unfolds, the viewer becomes involved in her relationship with her four daughters. These relationships are all complicated and dysfunctional because of the rage that Terry holds against her former husband. She takes some satisfaction in finally having at least some of her daughters make the statement, "I hate my father too." The story gets more complicated as Terry becomes involved with Danny, a neighbor next door, and finally moves in with her and the girls, who experience the brunt of Terry's anger in the relationship as she's been jilted by her husband. At the end of the movie, Denny is exploring the acreage in the back of the house for a new subdivision that is going to be built. And he accidentally stumbles over an old well. And as they look inside the well, what do they find? The body of the husband. He'd been out walking the dog and had fallen into the well and had died. He had not run off with the secretary to Sweden at all. So the infidelity never happened except in Terry's mind. But because she imagined that it did happen, Terry lived with immense feelings of abandonment. She lived a life of alcoholism and jealous rage, of violent anger, and she almost ruined the lives of those who were around her, closest to her, that loved her. And it's a sad, sad story. And even if her husband had betrayed her and had run off with the secretary, it would have been better for her to have forgiven him than to bring all this rage and anger and alcoholism into the house and taint her daughters and her friends and even the new boyfriend that moved in. Kenneth Hart, a psychology professor at the University of Windsor in Ontario, studied 63 recovering alcoholics, and the individuals had one thing in common. They were all angry with someone. He said, teaching forgiveness is the one way to break the cycle that causes recovering alcoholics to recover or to relapse. If they release their anger through forgiveness, they no longer have a reason to use alcohol as an escape. And you can tie this and say drugs. One of the former addicts said, forgiveness is more for yourself than for the person that you are forgiving. For me, forgiving the person sets me free. I wonder how many of us in this room today need to forgive someone or even groups of people to be set free, to truly live our lives without mental torture. Forgiveness is not easy. Ask God. Forgiveness is what the cross of Christ is all about on Golgotha. God forgave the sins of the world through the suffering of His Son. The forgiveness we grant others is built on what God has done for each and every one of us. After Jesus tells Peter to forgive his brother 70 times 7, he tells a fascinating parable that I read to you. There's one servant who owes the king a massive amount of money, which amounts to about the equivalent of 10,000 bags of gold. And we're talking a large sum of money here. So the servant is not able to repay the money. The king orders that the servant and his wife and children, everything be sold to repay the money. But the servant begs, I will repay. And the king is so taken by this, he says, I tell you what, I'm not just going to put you on a payment plan. I'm going to wipe away your debt. Totally wiped away. You are forgiven. You owe me nothing. And the servant runs right out being thankful. And what does he do? He grabs somebody that owes him some money. About 100 silver coins. Nothing compared to what he owed the king. And he takes him and he punishes him. And then people go back to the king. You know the man that you just set free that owed you all this money? You know what he did? He wouldn't forgive this man who owed him a little bit of money. So the king goes and grabs him and has him punished and tortured. This is one of the teachings of our faith that separates us from all the other faiths. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We're even to forgive our enemies. Oh man, that's a tough one. It's not easy. It's the hardest thing you will ever do in your life, the hardest thing. Why do we forgive? Because God has forgiven us. God gave his only Son in order that we might be forgiven. We in turn are to forgive those who have transgressed against us. Do you see why I say that September the 11th is a hard day for the nation of the United States of America? Because even though we at war with terrorists, we still have to find a way to forgive. And how do we do that? How do we reconcile it? Because forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness costs God his only Son. Forgiveness is only possible by God's grace. If someone has hurt you, deeply hurt you, forgiveness is possible only if you offer that hurt to God. You cannot do it in your own means. It may be that there are circumstances where forgiveness is not humanly possible. One theologian put it this way: we who follow Christ are always being commanded to do things we cannot do. We're commanded to love those who are not even lovable. We're called to serve without counting the cost. Think about that. Even to give your life, if necessary, for the cost of Christ. But the hardest commandment is the commandment to forgive. We are to do it not because it is humanly possible, but because as we try to do what God commands us to do, the ability to do it is given to us by the God who is full of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. We forgive because of the immensity of God's forgiveness in our behalf, because we have all sinned against God. And as long as we are on this earth, we will continue to sin against our Heavenly Father, even with the salvation of Christ within us. We will transgress against God. So this is a difficult day, and this is a difficult commandment. And what it requires of us is nothing less than a new heart of God's love. And I hope that this day you can ask God for that new heart. May God bless you. Amen. I know we went a good bit over today, and we'll, as I said in email, we'll try to get you out on time next week and make up for this. And what page is our? 571. Thank you. 571. My Country 'Tis of Thee. 571. Thank you. as you prepare to leave this sanctuary, hope that you'll go thinking not so much about 9/11, but that you'll go thinking about forgiveness in your heart for others. We can always find someone to forgive, and we can always seek forgiveness for our own selves. We all need to be forgiven. Let us go with a sense of love and mercy, and let us go with a sense of power in our hearts to reach out and help others find Christ as their Lord and Savior, and find the peace that passes all understanding. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.